The penalty for stealing was not death. The penalty for lying was not necessarily death. The penalty for adultery was death if the people were married. If they were unmarried, there was a penalty. You had to pay a dowry and you married the gal or the guy. But the Sabbath, listen to this. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, and those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron. We know it's a commandment. Here's a breaker. What's the penalty? We've got this new law. We know what the law is. Now we don't know what the penalty is. And they didn't know what to do. You read on. It says, the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death for gathering sticks. All the congregation shall stone him with stones. They were to participate in the execution. So all the congregation brought him outside the camp, and they stoned him with stones, and he died. I bet they were a little more careful next week. How important is this to God? Is it a suggestion? Some people go to Romans, where it says, one man regards a day unto the Lord, another man regards every day alike. Let everyone be persuaded in their own mind. And they apply that statement that is dealing with the Jewish holidays, the yearly Sabbath, to the Sabbath day. Oh, no. It's talking about something different there. Then you could read on. Let me give you just a couple more verses if I have time. Ezekiel 20, verse 12 and 13. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. It's a sign of sanctification. Do we need that? Do we need sanctification? Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he will live by them, meaning there's sanctifying influence in them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness and consume them, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbath. That's pretty serious. You can read all also in Ezekiel 20, verse 21 and 20. Verse 24, hallow my Sabbaths, there'll be a sign between me and you that you might know that I'm the Lord. Notwithstanding, the children of Israel rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he'll live by them. This is similar. But they profaned my Sabbath. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them. I would fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness because they profaned my Sabbaths. Does God care? Is it serious? I think sometimes we feel like, you know, just everybody be led by your own conscience, and if it feels good, it's okay. The Bible doesn't teach that. God is specific about keeping the Sabbath day, that it is a law, it is a commandment. Amen? Now, there are a couple of extremes, and this is what I think pollutes our thinking a little bit. By the time Jesus came, the Sabbath was being taught by the Pharisees, who were extremely legalistic. And they even accused Jesus of Sabbath breaking in the Bible. But nowhere in the Bible do you see Jesus ever doing anything that violates the Sabbath command the way it's given in Scripture. He broke their man-made traditions. And how often did you hear Jesus say, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandment of God that you might observe the traditions of men? That's why he goes on and he says, in vain do they worship me. Sabbath and worship are connected. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They had man-made commandments. They taught as though it was a doctrine, and it was all vain. You never see Jesus in the carpenter shop on the Sabbath day. You never hear him or teaching his disciples it's okay to break the Sabbath day. Indeed, he was in the synagogue every Sabbath day. So by his example, he was there worshiping, stood up, reading the scriptures out loud, and that's a good example for us. So a lot of the conflict that you see in the New Testament was Christ trying to clean and clear the Sabbath from the man-made restrictions. And there are still Pharisees out there, amen, that try to make it a burden instead of a blessing. It is supposed to be a blessing. But some people believe that those statements in Isaiah where it says, thine own pleasure, means that we're supposed to make ourselves as miserable as possible in order to keep the Sabbath. Let me read that to you. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on the Jews' holy day, is that what it says? From your holy day, God says, my holy day. So we can't pick our own holy day. It's his holy day. From doing your own pleasure. Now, the word pleasure there doesn't mean anything you enjoy. It means your personal, selfish pursuits. And, you know, there are some people say, you know, let's see, as long as we're out in nature, we're going to go water skiing. We're going to go snow skiing on Sabbath. And that would, I believe that that's a corruption of what the intent is. While the Lord wants you to enjoy the Sabbath, you're not out to be doing your own diversions. I believe that it's a time to dedicate to His service, and we'll get into that a little more. And he goes on to say, honor Him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure. And that word pleasure there means purposes, pursuits, ways. How many of you eat on the Sabbath? Show of hands. Be honest. How many of you enjoy it? Would any of you dare to say you find pleasure in it? So we're not supposed to eat on the Sabbath? Of course, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying you're smart. As soon as you start to enjoy something, I must not be doing the right thing because I'm enjoying this. And there are people who take that to mean it. It means your own pursuits, your own ways, your own purposes. Now, in keeping with that, and I need to be very delicate in the way I address this, I get a question much more than you would imagine on the subject of how does that relate to husbands and wives with the marital intimacy on the Sabbath day? There's a lot of confusion in this area. Let me get you to think about something. What day of the week did God make Adam and Eve? Friday, sixth day. And what was the last thing he says to them before you enter into the seventh day? Be fruitful and multiply. What would their honeymoon have been? Is there anything in the Bible? Now, was there sin in the world when God made Adam and Eve? There is no sin in the world. Is there anything in the scriptures in paradise that implicates there's something impure or unholy about those natural relations? No, and I would like to give you Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable, and that word honorable can be translated pure among all, and the bed undefiled, pure. And so this concept that, well, the Sabbath's a holy day, and so you can't support that biblically. Paul does say there may be times that a family or husband and wife wants to choose to fast and pray and separate from one another for the purpose of fasting and praying. You notice it's equated with not eating too. And so if it's okay to eat on the Sabbath, do I need to go much further with this, or do you understand? Now, what I'm sharing with you, I'm sharing by permission and not by commandment. If your conscience tells you otherwise, or if you and your spouse have made a covenant, then, hey, there's no sin in that. That's fine. But I just wanted to say, biblically, I think we need to be balanced about this. One of the most important parts of the Sabbath commandment is summed up in the word remember. And as I said earlier, remembering does not mean you wait until the sun is cresting the horizon Friday afternoon and you say, well, it's almost Sabbath, I need to get ready. Because we live to worship God. And keep in mind, I believe we should worship God 7 days a week. Amen? But let's face it, the worship on Sabbath is obviously of a superior nature, context, content, because God said so. He said He will meet with us and bless us in a special way. Because we live for the purpose of worshiping Him and glorifying Him, it is worthy of investing time in thinking ahead and remembering. We don't just start remembering the Sabbath on Friday. I think you start remembering it when the sun goes down Saturday evening and thinking about your next Sabbath and plan our week. You know, the Sabbath is a wonderful calibration tool of the Lord in the life of those that worship Him. Because life is made of time. And if every week our weeks revolve around this blessed time with God, you never lose focus. And that's intended. I think God planned it that way. So that the Sabbath is something that our whole life revolves around, and it helps us to keep the focus on what our purpose is, to worship Him, to serve Him, to glorify Him. It also helps us guard against becoming preoccupied with the cares of this life, lest that day overtake us as a thief.